Happy Sabbath. Can you hear me? Amen. Amen. Well, how are you all doing this morning? Good? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you this. I am excited and nervous at the same time. But I humbly ask that you keep me in prayer as well as the message that is to be preached. Here we have a flyer. How many of you got this when you walked in the door today? Yes? Yes? Okay. So I'm excited about this event. And the reason why I'm excited is we have started our advertising platforms. Next week, we have Brother Nice Collins. He's going to be coming to our church. And if you don't know who he is, he actually has several cooking shows on 3ABN and Dare to Dream Network. And what he's going to be coming to do for us is he's going to be coming to do a lifestyle nutrition class. How many of us here could benefit from nutrition? Yes, I know I could benefit from some nutrition. So he's going to come and he's going to show us some practical applications, practical advice on how to live a better life, how to live a healthier lifestyle. Now with this event, when he's coming in next week, we're using this event as a bridge event. What event do we have coming this January 8th? What event? Okay, we have our evangelistic meetings. We have our Bible prophecy seminar. And in those that Bible prophecy seminar, we're going to be inviting people to that. But the people that come to this event, they're going to be invited to that event as well. And I got off the phone talking to Vince Williams yesterday. And they're going to be able to have us invitation cards for our cooking school in time. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Now at this time, do we have a couple deacons? Right now we have some flyers. Now basically, we have 1,500 of these flyers. Amen? I'm not hearing so many amen. Okay, we have 1,500 flyers. And we need to get these out. And you guys can go ahead and start passing them out to everybody right now. No, so right now what we want is we want you to take as many as you can, okay? Give them to your friends, give them to your family, go to businesses, take 5, take 10, take 100 with you. We want to get these out. Do these flyers do any good if they sit here in the church? No, they do not. They do not do us any good. So we want to get this out. We want to get this out. In conjunction with the flyers, we have started advertising on social media. This past week, we created a church Facebook. Not only did we create a church Facebook, we claimed our church on Google Maps as well as Apple Map Connect. So that means that when people Google our church, search on Apple, our church, they will find our church. Our church is the first name that comes up for this. So I am excited, and our advertising is being launched in the Aiken Standard on their website. Does anybody know how many views the Aiken Standard website gets in a month? Any ideas? Okay, the Aiken Standard gets 1.7 million views a month, and our event is going on there. So my friends, I'm excited because next week we're going to have we're going to have people walking through those doors. Now with this event as well, we're going to be changing the service around next week a little bit. So Sabbath School, I mentioned to Joan, Sabbath School might be a little earlier, but actually Sabbath School is going to be around 9:30. Okay, 9:30. And we're going to have visitors show up as early as 10:30. Okay? So we need to make sure our Sabbath School is ended right about then. And when people come, they're going to be excited. They're going to want seats. I would not be surprised if we have over 30 to 50 people walk through those doors next Sabbath. Amen? This is why I am very, very excited about this event. And for those of you that I have asked, if you'd be willing to help in the program, I will be talking to you very shortly as well. Now, but before we begin our sermon, let's go ahead and say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for for being a God that loves us, for being a God that hears us. And Lord, this is not my sermon today. This is nothing having to do with myself, but Lord, this is your message. Lord, this is your purpose. And Lord, I ask that you empty me all of self and that you infill me with your Holy Spirit today. Let me be so on fire for you that it is not you, or it is not me that is seen, but it is you that is seen. So Lord, I thank you so much, and be with my words today as I share this message. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Christ's will, your service. Is this still on, by the way? Can we turn that off? Okay, Christ's will, your service. This morning, as I was preparing, as I was reviewing my sermon a bit, I actually did something I normally don't do. This past Thanksgiving, I accidentally left my toiletry kit in Atlanta, Georgia, where I went to visit my family. So I did not have a proper way to shave. And in not having a proper way to shave, I tried using a razor for the first time. I've always been used to shaving with an electric razor, okay? Well, this morning I was nervous. So as I started doing it, I put on the shaving cream and I'm like, what is this? Like this shaving cream. And then I'm starting to shave, and then my hairs are starting to pull, and I'm like, Lord, there must be something wrong with this method. Like this, people do not shave in this method. And I was really taken back. I think I came out okay though. I think I came out okay. But that was an interesting change for me. And I also want to talk to you about change. Now, is change easy? No, it's not easy. In fact, we find that change is one of the hardest things in our lives. How many of us want change? Okay, praise the Lord. There are some brave souls, brave souls. Let me show you something that a friend of mine, and his name is Melvin Santos, posted up. Okay, and this was a cartoon here. It says, who wants change? And all these people raise their hand. They're like, yes, we want change. And then after that, who wants to change? And notice the reaction. Notice the reaction. The reaction completely changes. They're like, well, okay. And then the preacher asks the next question. Who wants to lead the change? How many people were left? Nobody was left. Nobody was left. Nobody wanted to lead the change. You know, change is really, really hard because it requires us stepping outside of our comfort zone, completely outside of our comfort zone. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, for if there be first a willing what? Mind. It is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know, there's a story in the Bible. And this man, he tried to bring change, but his change was, he was nervous on how to go about it. He was like, no, Lord, I can't do this. And we're going to look at that story today. So, does everyone have their Bibles? Yes? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus. Turn with me to Exodus. And we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 10. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. And when you're there, say amen. 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 All right. So this is a story. This is a mission, the mission of Moses. So Moses, he's in Midian, and he's tending his flocks. And the Lord comes to Moses and says, Moses, I have a mission for you. And I am calling you to go out and to do my will. So we're going to look at the story right here. Starting with verse 10, it says, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you will say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. Notice what Moses actually does here. So when God comes to Moses and when God says, you know, I will send you to my people Pharaoh, and the first question and how he replies, he actually says, who am I? Who am I to do this? You know, I'm only Moses. I'm not qualified. I'm not trained. I don't have any experience doing this. But God says, you know, certainly I will be what? With you. You know, Moses' story is very interesting because if we were to continue reading, we see that God had placed a mission on Moses, but he was like, he questioned God multiple times, and he actually said, oh, Lord, no. And if we kept reading, you'll see he said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. Lord, I'm slow to walk. Lord, I can't do this. Could Moses do this on his own? No, Moses couldn't do this on his own. In fact, he needed God's power to do this. He needed God's power to lead him in this mission. Let's jump to verse 19 really quick. It says, but I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, you will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman and the lives in her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. So God had given some clear instruction to Moses, and this instruction was to do God's will. You know, God's will is something that is very, very challenging for us. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you a short story here. So this right here is Laura. Laura was a reclusive person. And Laura didn't like going out and meeting people. In fact, she would stay in her home. And her best friends were animals. And knowing this is not very healthy. So when I was in West Virginia, I went and I knocked on her door. Little did I know any of her background. Little did I know her history. And as I knocked on her door, she only cracked open the door a little bit. And she's like, yes, can I help you? And then I was like, you know, my name is James. I'm with GYC. It's a Christian youth young adult program. And I'm here just sharing the Bible. And at first she was hesitant. She was afraid of someone coming into her life. But then she said, okay, we'll study the Bible. And in studying the Bible at first, she wasn't that interested. But she actually had some different conditions. And part of her conditions were her house. Her house was not in good, clean condition. In fact, she was embarrassed. Her birds had left feces on the floor. There was bird seed on the floor. You could not walk through the entrance without stumbling on a bag, a crate. She was obese. She could not get around for herself. She was in desperate need of help. And me being there, I realized this was an opportunity not only to share God's word with her, but to present the opportunity of change in her life. And that change was not me, but that change was introducing her to who?
To Christ.
So as we were working, she even had, and I met one of her, and I met, she also had a dog outside. By the way, this was a guard dog. And when I first knocked on the door, the dog was hidden underneath the car. So imagine how quickly I ran away after seeing this dog. But I made friends with this dog. And a Bible worker's best defense against the enemy are dog treats. It's the best defense. But her conditions were not good. In fact, this was the condition of her home. And this was after we did some cleaning. This is not before. This is after. I mean, and you can tell right there how there's particles everywhere. If you look here, you see there's dust. Everything is not organized. There's stuff on the floor. There's probably feces, bird poop. You know, it was really, really bad. But me and a youth group from our church there, we actually got together and we said, you know what? Let's go to this lady's house and let's clean it up for her. Okay, so we go to her house, we start changing everything up, and we start cleaning out, and we probably took 4 truckloads of garbage out of that house. That's just to begin with. And then this was her house after that clean. So imagine what it would have been. But this was her house afterward. And in doing this for her, it opened up an opportunity for us to share the Bible with her. And as we shared the Bible with her, especially right after we had cleaned her house, she was so excited. She's like, come back. Come back and study the Bible with me. And as we opened up the Bible, as we studied that, she ended up accepting the Sabbath. She ended up accepting the state of the dead. She ended up even accepting the mark of the beast, which she also comes from a Catholic background. Knowing that, that is very, very big. Very, very big. But she ended up accepting all of our truths. And it was only because we did one simple thing. We went to her house and we helped clean. So God can use us, even in the littlest things, to bring a change or to serve another. This right here is Inez. And Inez and her daughter, actually. Right here, this is Inez and this is her daughter, Penny. So they had moved to West Virginia from Phoenix, Arizona. And in moving there, they actually, Inez was in a point in her life where she had just retired, and she said, God, I have been a Mormon. I have been a Jehovah's Witness. There has to be a true church out there. There has to be a people that are searching with a love for you like no one else. And she was praying that very day. And no more than probably 4 or 5 hours later, guess who knocks on the door? Me. I knocked on her door, and I did not know this. This was a divine appointment in the making. And as I got to know her, I gave her the Bible study guide. I came back next week, and she had it filled out. And then I gave her another one. She had it filled out. And another one. In fact, I could not give this lady enough material. She would soak up everything. In fact, I ran out of study guides. I had to give her a second set of study guides. Not only did I have to give her a second set of study guides, I had to give her another complete book set. And I was like, I don't have anything else to give you. But she opened her heart and she accepted the good news. And she was so excited. And as a result of her mother, her daughter ended up coming in as well. And her daughter, who grew up in Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses as well, she had learned so much about the Bible as well. And both of these individuals, one would share to the other. In fact, I was only studying with her in the beginning, and I was not studying with her daughter. She was starting to tell her daughter everything that she was learning. So, and in essence, she was sharing the Bible with her family. And it made a dramatic change in both of them.
And they both ended up accepting the Lord and also getting baptized. And these are just some of the pictures of those moments.
So Christ is working a change in each of our lives. But do we have the power for that change? Not of ourselves, but Christ works in us for that. You know, today's sermon was titled, Christ Will Your Service. You know, God has given each of us a mission of purpose, a mission of being the hands and the feet of Jesus. To me, you know, what I might do in a church might be different than, say, what Anne would do in the church, or would say what Gabriella would do, or what any of each of us do. God can use each of us exactly where we are. Do we have to get perfect before we come to the Lord? No. And this was one of my testimonies. I thought that before I came to the Lord, I had to become perfect. That I had to cleanse myself, and I had to be the perfect Christian before I could even think or having the thought of coming to God. And that was the most wrong mentality I had ever had. And by God's grace, He taught me some lessons through that. And I'll share with you that testimony at another time. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. And when you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Did you hear that? It says, we must work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. So here we see a requirement. God actually said, He's telling us, my beloved or my loved, you know, if just as you have always obeyed, serve me. Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. Now, nothing that we do of ourselves will earn us salvation. It is what? What is salvation? Salvation is a free what? Gift. Salvation is a free gift that God freely gives to us. So if it is a gift, we cannot earn it. But God still says, work out your salvation with trembling. And when we work out something, that is a requirement. That is saying, all right, you have to exercise. Or basically, God is saying, you know, once it is me in you, once I am in your heart, once I am working in your life, I will give you that desire to work out that salvation. So as we're learning, as we're growing, we're no longer alone, but it is God working in us for a better, for His will and good pleasure. You know, this upcoming evangelism series is something I'm very, very excited about, because each of us are going to have the opportunity to share God's word with another person, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to be a light to those that are searching for truth, so for those that are searching for light. And God has given us a great mission, a great mission we must not neglect. And my friends, you know, maybe perhaps you're at the place where Moses was, and you're saying, but Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I cannot. I'm slow of speech. I don't know how to respond. My knees shake. You know, I get nervous. Lord, I can't do it. But where we start is where Christ works in us to will. How many of you here have a willing heart to follow the Lord, no matter the cost?
Amen.
Amen.
And that needs to be our response, to have a willing heart, to follow the Lord in love, not because someone has told us. Christ is waiting for us to respond. And in so doing, let us remember that Christ will always be there by our side to work in us and through us, never leaving us alone. As we close with our song here, I want to invite each of you to ponder on the words of the Lord. What mission has the Lord placed upon your heart? What has God asked you to do? Are you in the same position as Moses, where you're saying, I can't do it? Or are you willing to let him work in your life, to work out that salvation with fear and trembling? God has given us each a mission. The gospel isn't about what I get or what I give up. It's about what Jesus gave up. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to be ready and willing to follow you at all costs. Lord, there's people out there that are ready to tap out, ready to throw in the towel, ready to give up. And Father in heaven, Lord, you know who these people are. Lord, perhaps even some of us today might feel in that same position, and they're standing here in this sanctuary. Perhaps there's some here that are saying, Lord, I'm not a Moses, or Lord, I am a Moses, and Lord, I'm slow of speech, and I can't do the work of evangelism. But Lord, we know that you are a God that loves us, and you have called us to work out our salvation. And Lord, you have called us to your mission. And Lord, let that be our response today, to follow you with all of our heart. And Lord, we thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen.